Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and the Baja gods are tempting me. Sadly, I give in very easily to temptations. And with me, I have...
Coming soon, maybe. Olivia Rodrigo playing the blues like a goddamn vampire.
And...
You know we have to squat right now? It's a buckle, but... I need to find a place around here because I think I had it once.
I think it was like at a Greek restaurant or something. But it was tasty.
Yeah, I think you know what? You know nothing about. I don't remember like. Like we have a Greek, like we have a Greek pizza eatery around here, and I remember not having baklava. I just never remember, you know, ordering or getting it. I mean, I remember hearing about it, but I never asked about it until now.
Yeah, like I just literally just out of curiosity, like opened up, like just Googled baklava in the area, and of course the first places that come up are Greek places. They even got a Nutella baklava. Goddamn.
Oh, that's right in my area.
Yeah, but I might actually have to bookmark that for later. I'll have to add that to the list of interesting culinary escapades I've had recently. I might come back to that in a bit.
And you wonder why the fuck mentioned baklava at a time like this? I don't know. I just can't. There's nothing I did because it's just a random reference or. I don't know, something I've heard of recently, or from somewhere recently.
References are fun.
Uh-huh.
You figure it out. I'm not sure where I got it from.
But this isn't a baklava podcast. Yet. This is the Decibel Boost Podcast, episode 390. So, how's everyone been hanging in there lately?
Okay, I gotta whinge and bitch about a couple things just to get it off my chest. So I had to go do something I've been trying to do for the last 2 months. Get my oil changed in my car. I set up an appointment for 11:30 this morning. I pull up to the place. They tell me it's gonna take a while. We only got one guy working on all the cars, and there are three cars ahead of you. So I'm thinking, oh, God, great, okay, so I leave it, I walk around for a little bit, for about a half hour, and nothing, so I decide, okay, I'm just gonna go home, and long story short, I didn't get my car back until 2:30.
Ooh.
Damn.
3 hours, and I set an appointment. My life is just a never-ending cavalcade of Seinfeld jokes come to life, and I hate it. But at least I got it done, which might have to go someplace else because that was just. Ugh. Honor your social contracts! It's done. It's done. Now I can talk about other things like Travis Scott ruining wrestling. God damn. Okay, I gotta do a little wrestling rant here. Not a very long one because I'm just so tired, but. WrestleMania happened this weekend. There were some good matches, but the rest of the show as a whole just sucked. It was bad. Main event. Cody Rhodes, Evil John Cena, title on the line. Travis Scott got involved. Took 3 minutes to walk down to the ring. Bullshit happened, and John Cena won. What the fuck ever, it sucked. And then you have good old Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, on the Pat McAfee show, talking about his lack of involvement over the show, saying, listen, we know that a lot of people weren't happy about it, I had nothing to do with it, I wasn't there, I peaced out, I said, my work here is done, I'm gonna go. He didn't say that like that, but that's basically what he said, and it's just, congratulations, guys. Y'all had no plan, and y'all strung us along for months, with no real end goal in sight. And you wonder why I'm trying to fucking detox off of this shit. By the way, Rob, you said your partner went to the AEW show in Boston last weekend, right?
Correct.
That was probably the best show they've done in a very long time, so they should consider themselves very, very lucky that they went to that show.
Yeah, so the thing is, I tried watching it. I was having problems with the stream, though, because I was streaming it through Max, and it just kind of kept, like, occasionally hitching and delaying at odd points. So I gotta, like, actually sit down and have a dedicated rewatch of that. But I did like the bit with Maxwell Jacob Friedman showing up.
Yeah, there were good matches, too, but, yeah, weird that you can lag spike. It doesn't happen to me, but, you know, whatever. But, yeah, once again, Travis Scott ruins everything, including Coachella. That should have been Charlie Spot as a headliner, not you, fucker.
So, did Coachella really suck this year?
Not completely. I mean, Charlie XCX is always good, and she does not suck at all, but she deserved a headline spot over fucking Travis Scott and Post Malone. And, you know, Green Day, you could have given up your spot to her, I'm just saying, but whatever. Yeah. At least Billy Joe wore a silly hat. I guess that counts for something. Yeah. Oh, and speaking of silly hats, I saw Sinners. Just all the yes, it's very good. Go see it. It's very good. Biggest screen possible. Go see it.
Interesting.
That's crazy.
I have not been to the theaters in months. I fought through every single aching cry of anxiety I had in me to go see it, and it was worth it.
That's cinema, baby.
And diddly diddly diddly.
Yeah, sounds like a fun way to spend some time at the movies. But anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see. I'm gonna try and avoid basically the censorship because that's been mostly me all the time, and you know what? I don't want to just keep saying that anymore because that's gonna make me even more depressed. So I'm just gonna leave that out the door for now. And I'm just going to say it's been, well, the usual, like, working on that shit, even though today was really not a favorite day because it was raining when it started. And I had to park near where it was raining the most. And, well, I got drenched. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, this is not a way to start a good day. And, well, I mean, well, okay, that's not, at least the thing, well, of course, there's things that keep me sane, like, you know, me basically getting back in my writing, trying to take my mind off everything, watch YouTube shit, and especially anime, or just trying to keep my mind at ease. That's all I'm trying to do today, or at least recently, yeah.
I feel that. Especially with a certain individual up there. You know who you are. But anyway, as for me, what was I doing this past week or so? Well, first of all, I should probably mention, you might be hearing this episode a bit later than normal. And I promise this time it isn't just because of schedule slip-ups. It's because the power went out over the weekend. Yeah, so Sunday, 6 p.m., power goes out. And I'm pretty sure it doesn't come back until around, like, 1 in the morning. So, you know, just trying to sit in the house with the darkness, no air conditioning, playing Slide in the DMs with the roommates. I didn't get to play the card that said Gibby from iCarly. Or I think that's a card in Cards Against Humanity. I always forget which, but anyway. So that was a not fun way to spend a Sunday evening. Although we did meet some nice people at like a Wawa. We were trying to get out of the house to a place with air conditioning, so that was pretty neat. Although thankfully there was still enough power in the house over the weekend, you know, with the days beforehand, that I watched stuff. The main thing that's been occupying my time is, I don't know if anybody here follows Glitch Productions, that being the YouTube channel that does online like cartoons like Murder Drones and, of course, The Amazing Digital Circus.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm talking about.
Yeah, they recently premiered their new series, The Gaslight District, which is immediately one of my current favorite things. Like, if your favorite kinds of cartoon stuff includes stuff like the various films by Studio Leica, like Coraline, Paranorman, that kind of like stop motion horror stuff, or even like various Tim Schafer style games like Psychonauts or even Grim Fandango type aesthetics, this is something you need to put in front of your eyeballs yesterday.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Sorry, go ahead.
I kind of get that. The energy while watching that pilot, like, okay, like, now, like, I didn't put a name in it, but now, like, okay, now it does remind me of that. Like, yeah, I kind of got that from the imagery, the overworld design, stuff like that. It's kind of good, yeah.
My question is, I really wonder what sort of schedule that's even going to be on production-wise, because there is so much going on in every single second and frame of animation. It's like, that is some work. Like, Jesus Christ. It's impressive, but goddamn, that's gotta take, like, that takes a lot out of you.
They got that, and I'm pretty sure they are doing that one show with the creator of the Owl House later on this year, hopefully.
Yeah, Knights of Guinevere, I think it's called.
Yeah, that one.
I should watch the Owl House at some point. Anyway, what else? Oh, I also made an interesting little culinary excursion. Well, maybe two. If we're talking about the various new Baja flavors that are permeating the likes of your local Walmart and Taco Bells, then, oh boy, that vanilla-flavored Baja is going to be the fucking death of me. Just when I thought my favorite soda couldn't get any better. I am a Taco Bell whore. Anyway, there was the other thing, so just out of curiosity, has anyone out there ever heard of a chain called Dave's Hot Chicken?
Yeah, I have, mainly through a lot of food TikTok and food YouTube, a lot of, you know, foodies talk about that shit, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those names that if you know, it definitely comes up in, like, the online spicy fried chicken discourse from all the influencers and all. Mainly because I think if you order the hottest flavor on the menu, they make you sign a waiver, basically saying we're not responsible for whatever happens next. Like, motherfucker, you made this decision. You're an adult.
You're like, if you die, that's on you.
Which, fair. So I found out that they actually opened one in the area this weekend. So I swung by while I was out and about taking care of some shopping. And ordered me some tenders, medium spice though. And first of all, goddamn, those are some thick ass tenders. Like I've seen the videos of that and everything, but I feel like they don't really prepare you for actually like seeing one of the Dave's tenders up close. Like that is a massive thick ass boy. Like, how do I put this? Anytime a guy has ever lied to a woman about the size of his dick, what it's like that size.
Well, I gotta scope one out now, and apparently there are two in my city, just on the other end of my city, which is a very big city, so a day trip sometime soonish, I guess.
Okay, and there's on my state too, just very, very far away, God.
Yeah, I'm sure if they franchise enough, it'll probably get closer to y'all. But the thing is, like, yeah, it's pretty big and thick. But, like, honestly, it's pretty good quality chicken all the same. Like the chicken's nice and juicy. It's decently seasoned. It's got that real satisfying crunch when you bite into it. It's, that's what you call a spicy fried chicken. Why the fuck did I go Italian for 5 seconds? I don't know what I'm doing anymore. But, yeah, you know, good tenders. Good fries, pretty good Dave's sauce, just good chicken. I might have to push my luck with some of the hotter flavors beyond medium. I still don't know if I'm going to be that guy that tries the Reaper. I don't know if I'm ready to do that to myself yet.
I would not commit yourself that far. Like, imagine doing the last dab.
Oh, yeah, the last dab. I've considered it. I'm still waffling on it, but I've considered it. But yeah, anyway, that's about enough of the shenanigans on my end. So now, let's move on to the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and mark your calendars for new projects and albums, get some new music for your playlist, all that fun stuff. So, starting at the top here, in the past couple of years, Full of Hell have been, you know, as busy as you could expect given their discography. We had two different collaborative albums, as well as a solo full-length called Coagulated Bliss. So, yeah, that's pretty much three times the full-length dose of Full of Hell. But now, they're adding on to that with a new EP that's coming out May 16th called Broken Sword, Rotten Shield. And, of course, our first taste of the EP here is in the form of the track Knight's Oath. Huh. Knight, sword, shield. I'm sensing a motif here. But anyway, as for the song itself, this is kind of an interesting stylistic diversion. Like, okay, it's definitely abrasive in a lot of the ways you would expect from Full of Hell, owing to the, you know, guttural vocals and a lot of the melodically discordant riffs. But what stands out is mainly in the tempo, because it's very steady, all things considered. The song avoids the usual grinding thrash and bash that you would expect from, you know, the typical Full of Hell song. And aside from some double kick grooves in there, it is still pretty, like, centered in its tempo. Hell, there's even some more shoegazy melodic nuance at points. Kind of fitting of a lyrical theme regarding, you know, the knight and their very questionable oath of sacrifice. So, I'm curious if the rest of the EP's gotta be like this, like more steady mid-tempo songs that have this more melancholic edge to them. We'll see, but I am interested by this.
Maybe it's because I'm just used to all the Health collabs that they did. It's still fresh in my mind, but this wasn't really what I expected, but in a good way, in that it's pretty visceral and piercing. Very piercing to the ears, but again, in a good way. I normally don't go to music like this, but when it hits right, and this hits just right enough to where I'm actually enjoying it.
Woo! Alright, now, man, I just want to really listen to those Health collabs. Anyway.
They were good.
Indeed. So now let's move on to the next track here. Looks like the guys in Suicidal Tendencies are somehow still around and kicking it. Good for them, I guess. I don't know, I don't actively follow them all that much anymore. I mean, when they have Thundercat on an album, where else do you go with their music?
Just yeah. The same thing, but with different band members in rotation. Now including the three band rotation that happened a while ago involving Sepultura, Slipknot, and Suicidal Tendencies. And now in the chair we have Jay Weinberg, who was both bands at one point in time.
Yeah, that was a whole weird thing. Like, okay, I'm trying to follow logic. Okay, so Jay Weinberg used to be in Slipknot, now in Suicidal Tendencies. Slipknot currently has Eloy Casagrande, who used to be in Sepultura. And I think the guy currently playing in Sepultura, Grayson Necruitment, I believe his name was. And either of these guys? Okay, he obviously wasn't in Slipknot, but I think it was in Suicidal
Tendencies. He was in Suicidal Tendencies, yeah, while also doing big band stuff. Really good big band stuff. Like, my God, this is like Buddy Rich reincarnated.
And now I've gone cross-eyed. Anyway, we have the first official Suicidal Tendencies single release with Jay Weinberg on drums, and it's called Adrenaline Addict. Now, structurally, the song is as straightforward as you can get. It's mainly just verse, chorus, alternating like that across, like, 3 minutes 40 seconds. And the verses mainly have, like, this kind of thrashing, driving feel on the toms and kind of mixing the snare in there with this very, very slap-heavy bass line. Are we sure Thundercat still isn't here? Anyway, slap-heavy bass line. And it kind of, the vocal track alternates between, you know, this soothing melodic woman's vocals and Mike's kind of weak-sounding vocals on this one. Like, not quite as much heft here as the olden days. Or maybe that's just up to the production, because, I don't know, this sounds very, like, demo quality to me. Not that, you know, Suicidal Tendencies ever had the most lavish production, but I remember it having more punch than this. Anyway, then the chorus has more of, you know, that kind of a bashing fast groove on the cymbals and, you know, all the everything. It is one of the Suicidal Tendencies songs of all time.
Once again, the weakest link of this damn band for like 30 years and counting is one Mike Muir, because how do you have folks like Jay Weinberg here with Dean Pleasant and Ty Trujillo on bass and Ben Weinman also on guitar? Because, yeah, like he's Dillinger in this band
Escape
now, too.
Plan Ben Weinman?
Yeah, that one.
Damn.
Yeah. How do you have this good of a band and you're still just doing the same damn shit you've done on nearly every damn Suicidal song, basically since the peak era came and went? TLDR, great instrumentals, very average vocals and lyrics. I don't know if it's production or not, but I just want Mike Muir to just freshen up the routine a bit. Like, you're not 20-something years old anymore going down the streets of L.A. in your skateboard. You're, like, what, in your 50s or 60s now?
I don't know. Maybe his vocal ability got ruined by all the Pepsi.
Yeah, it's possible.
Your mother was trying to warn you, dude. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, look at that. A Boldy James song. We haven't heard from him in, like, 24 minutes.
Oh, yeah, and well, we got more coming. Well, consider like this one is actually a Boosie. This is not feeling any album whatsoever. It's just a known single which he collaborated with two people, that beach Chicago rapper Valet with producer MVW. And okay, and this is titled "What You Think," and I'm just gonna say it. This one's really I didn't feel it, to be honest. But at least all of like okay, I mean, the instrumental was nice, like you had a good piano riff and some good hi hats, all that shit. This one right before. Is his vocals? Is this like very, very, well, I don't know. I just didn't really get with it all that much. Voldy's verse was okay. Like he didn't really do much. It's just like he's there, but it's like, okay, he's there, but aside from a good beat, this one is like I'm not really feeling all that much, to be honest. Oh, and I want to add one thing on the Steel Gun piece, which they said, keep in mind he released three albums this year. Did you lose count, or did you count them onto his albums? I don't know.
Maybe they forgot the one that was on Bandcamp that cost like $900 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
$880.88.
Rounded up.
Man, if only he released that album on 88 Rising.
Oh.
Boo. Terrible.
Oh, what are you going to do? Throw eggs at me?
No, because eggs are expensive, and I want to keep them so I can eat them.
Oh, yeah, that's probably a better use of your time.
I do have bricks instead, though.
Oh, fuck! I did not foresee this. But, yeah, I don't have much to add other than... I mean, yeah, that is a pretty smooth piano melody, all things considered. Maybe we'll hear better from him in the future. Coming up next year. Oh, hey, look at that, Boldy James. We haven't heard from you in 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Oh, thank God! We've gone seconds without a new Boldy James song.
Oh.
Seconds!
And this time...
It almost would have been a minute!
And this time, he doesn't have it coming out next month. As in May 2nd. As in... Yeah,
hey!
It's called Consequential Pieces. It's in a collaboration with freak producer Real Bad Man. which we heard before, like doing like one or two levels. And this time we got only not only one, but two tracks.
This is
the first one, Come Back Around, featuring the vocals from Dreamcast Mode.
Oh, is that how it's pronounced? I was saying Dreamcast Moe.
Oh,
I'm a little bit sorry about that.
Okay, now this song is like, okay, we're back. Okay, we're back to territory that I recognize. We're back to him. Let's get that very, like, somewhat gray, somewhat blues, not bluesy, but somewhat like, someone needs to be, so that'd be going over bully, which basically goes to verse saying, like, the first verse saying, like, you know, I'm from the ghetto where his family said no health care, father's nowhere to be found, mama's on welfare, there's a home from the clinky running from the top bunk, fucking loads of smoking drink, ringing in the couch slump. Damn, I always say, basically, fuck that shit, is what I'm saying. Like, basically, that wife. The line says, "Where pregnant underage mothers they consider milfs." Oh boy, where sisters running to get their brothers just to get them killed. These are the story you tell them. It's one of those like those hard knock life type of track of it. Like, which come from him. That does make sense going on. You know, coming from Detroit, and everybody talk about Detroit every once in a while, whether it's serious shit or just a joke around, which most people kind of do, or maybe in a satirical way, RoboCop, except, I say the check is it's pretty nice. I can fuck with it.
Yeah, this one definitely leaves more of an impact than that previous one, just because how much growing up on the streets is fucking hell.
Yeah. And then you get to the other, single, It Factor. And it features, I guess that we've been to suspect until now. That being LP.
Hey!
Okay, this one is slightly more, I want to say LP used to be with before being run to jewels. I know it's a
Rockus.
Wait, not that one. I think it's either
Definitive Jux.
Yes, that's it. Definitive Jux. That's it. It's not something come off of those. Like, okay, you get Voidy's first. The Voidy's first. Okay, kind of good. Like very good. Like, I could definitely I could fuck with that verse. LP. I keep calling this man EP. His name is LP, even though his name's something to eat. Well, my name is Heidi, but fuck it, I don't know. Anyway, LP's verse. Remind me of that era, that company full type of shit that I can't hear people talk so much about. But yeah, I gotta say, like, this is kind of interesting hearing with Boydie James, and. Yeah, I gotta say, like, this one is, okay, I gotta admit, I almost forgot to listen to this track because I thought, did I forget to listen? I'm like, yep, I did, I need to get to this shit quick. And I did, it's like, oh, okay, this one kind of hitting it. So, yeah, I gotta say, we're some good hitting, we get another, another 40 days of that might have some good quality.
Yeah, that's gotta be interesting, but you know who needs to release a new album already? Boldy James.
Oh, damn it. That's the wrong note.
Listen, man, it's been like 3 minutes since we last talked about Boldy James with you. That's basically 2,000 years. But anyway, we do have to move on to the next song here, which... Oh, thank fuck, we're getting new King Gizzard this year.
Well,
and the Lizard Wizard. You don't understand. They had a new album out only last year. That's really like two...
What the fuck kind of Uncle Stan-ass voice was that?
What?
What the hell?
You don't even go to that fandom. My roommate, the Slipknot is mid roommate, compared my voice to Grunkle Stan.
So you're
Grunkle sweet. Rob wins the football bowl.
So you're still like Alex Hirsch or that other? Yeah, that's the guy's name. Please.
I wish I could be Alex Hirsch. Hey, what are you saying, Cass?
I said, and I quote, Grunkle Stan ass looking motherfucker.
Don't make me smuggle pugs across the Mexican border. I'll do it.
I've already done that, bitch. And I got the money.
You motherfucker! I'm getting distracted here. We need to talk about lizards. Anyway, so King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard have announced a new album coming out June 13th. It is titled Phantom Island. Which, funnily enough, is the name of that track that they released towards the end of last year. Like, it was a more orchestral thing. But we have a new... they made this announcement like a couple weeks ago, but we have a new song here that isn't just like a redux of Phantom Island. The track is called Dead Stick. And apparently, at least according to the press release, this is kind of made up of various songs that got cut from the recording sessions for Flight B-741. Which, as a reminder, had more of this, like, classic, upbeat, folk rock sensibility to it. And this one definitely feels like it also fits from kind of a general 70s rock perspective, but it's also got tons of horns and saxophones, and just all together everyone having a fun, good time. I almost want to say there's, like, dabs of stuff like Rick Derringer or Edgar Winter here, and I was trying to think of what it most reminded me of, until I decided to peek at the YouTube comments and someone... put it way better than I could. This sounds like the opening theme to an 80s sitcom. Couldn't you just see it? Couldn't you just see the old school font, like the sitcom title theme for King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, featuring John Stamos?
Oh boy.
But will they be bold enough to cast Lars von Trier as a pie?
Oh, there's only one way to find out, gamers. So, yeah, I guess your perspective on this is going to depend on how you felt about Flight B-741 and what you think that would sound like with more horns. But, I mean, it's kind of fun in its own weird way.
You say 80s sitcom, I say more 70s funk and jazz. Because the funk and jazz vibes are strong here, and it makes for a good vibe out listen. Even if I still don't know what the hell these folks actually are, what they actually do. But hey, I'm not going to complain so much about this, because the vibes are immaculate. And funky.
One day you'll understand. One day! Anyway, now to move on to the final track here. Hey, look at that, it's Jid! An artist who puts out music at relatively normal intervals.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's been a while since he had an album, you know, The Forever Story from 2022, which got a lot of critical acclaim from everybody. Everyone, I mean, everyone got top of their list. I mean, that on my list too, just honorable mentions list, but still, whatever. But anyway, he's been doing, like, again, like, he's been doing well. I say he's doing work, but yeah, that's the title of the song, Work, with no O.
Huh.
Now, yeah, apparently it's world building for his fourth studio album, which is titled God Does Like Ugly, we don't know the least yet. He's just saying he's working on it, which, okay, like, it's just like, it's basically, someone basically jig, like, getting back to this creative process of music and trying to, you know, get motivation to trying to do his own shit at this last album, which, you know, he want to, you know, try to be better, like, basically trying to put himself to work, which, I gotta say, the song is not too shabby. Like, it does sound like a bop. Like, work, let's go to work, get your ass up, get your ass, like, it's not like a long clock, like, get your ass up, work. And that reminds me of, he's on a want to go to work. But it's like, basically him just, you know, just basically his rap skills, his flow, basically what he is, and the beat does kind of bop in there. Like, is it the best of the songs? No, is it the best songs? No, but I mean, it's a good listen.
Yeah, that I remember when I listened to the Forever Story. Like, damn, that was some good rap. And I'm curious what this new album would sound like, but this song definitely affirms one thing, that Jid is just one of the best spitters in the game right now. Like, it's hard to believe that he's in the same general vicinity as fucking J. Cole, because Jid fucking dog walks that dude.
I think when it comes to Dreamville, it's like, every other artist is better than the main founder.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a J. Cole is a Hershey bar, just a regular ass Hershey bar. Jid is Reese's, it's either Twix or Kit Kat or maybe an interesting chocolate. Well, J. Cole is just, he's just Hershey's. I mean, you're good for s'mores and good for just, I mean, a la carte, you're just there.
That feels more insulting than complimentary.
Now I just want chocolate. Although, if we want to reframe this in more complimentary terms, let me put it like this. If Jid was involved in that beef with Drake and Kendrick, he would have actually stood a chance.
Yeah.
Just saying. But, anyway, that's it for the new song discussion. Now we have one last new... We have literally just the one news topic to talk about here. And,
yeah, it's one
It was pretty much... An,
yeah, it's the one we got to talk about.
It was an inevitability, because of course yes. It was.
This was breaking literally, like, right as I was about to finish exporting and post the last week's episode. So, remember how we were laughing at Billy McFarland over Firefest 2 and how it was supposedly going to happen, even though the governments of Playa del Carmen said, yeah, this shit ain't happening? Now it's postponed indefinitely. So remember, this was supposed to take place in Mexico from May 30 to June 2nd, but then everybody that bought a ticket said, the event has been postponed and a new date will be announced. We have issued you a refund. Once the new date is announced at that time, you can repurchase if it works for your schedule. And of course, they're still trying to convince, you know, Fyre Festival 2 is still on. We are vetting new locations and will announce our host destination soon. Our priorities remain unchanged, delivering an unforgettable, safe, and transparent experience. Now, keep in mind, the tickets... We were talking about tickets that started at $1,400, which, that is basically a rent payment in a lot of spots.
That's
upwards of $1.1 million, and we still don't have a date, we still don't have, you know, any information, but Billy McFarland says that, oh, the date is dependent on the location.
Oh, no.
And, okay, there was a couple of updates to the story. This one I didn't know about until I clicked the Stereo Gum piece here just now, but apparently an email went out to the ticket holders in which the organizers of the festival accused the Playa del Carmen government of theft. Quote, when a government takes your money, issues permits, promotes the event, and then pretend it's never heard of you, that's not just dishonest, it's theft. Due to this, we have decided to move Fyre Festival 2 elsewhere. That's right, people. The government took the money and then lied that they never heard of this festival. And if there's anyone you can trust in this regard, it's the prison convict who lied about a luxury festival. He knows what he's talking about. Yeah. So you were caught the first time to the point where it became a gigantic media firestorm scandal. You try to pull this shit again, and then you get called out by the government saying that you didn't do your permits and your due diligence and all that, and then you have the gall, the audacity to call them the liars and the thieves? Motherfucker, are you Master Shake right now?
Liar,
I feel like I'm watching a fucking Aqua Teen spec script.
Okay. I say this as a white man, as far as you all know anyway. I am humbly asking for a moratorium on white men. You all need to go away. You all have fucked up so hard, so many times, in everything, including positions of government. You all need to go away and let other people who are neither white nor male be in charge, because they know what they're doing. And claiming that a Mexican government is defrauding you, claiming theft, that's a one-way ticket to lawsuit, Bill. Because I'm pretty sure somebody's going to hear that and they're going to go, okay, pendejo, receipts. Show him. Go ahead. We'll wait. Show him.
Like, motherfucker, you think the Mexican government is scared of you? Do we need to remind you of what happened when they hosted public watch parties for the finale of Dragon Ball Super? Japan was like, you can't do that. And the Mexican government was like, fuck you, make me. And they did it anyway.
Oh, God. Yeah, apparently... whoever's running the Instagram account is trying to gauge interest in any kind of alternative venues like Puerto Rico or New York or the Turks and Caicos Islands or Tila, Honduras, which I'm pretty sure all of them are going to say no, 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 and no. Fuck you, get out of here. Oh, and remember... no refunds for those tickets, so if you paid money for it, God, I hope none of you out there did. But to the people who did, how's that working out for you?
I don't know. I feel like New York is the most plausible location there, just because Eric Adams is going to do the most hilariously wrong thing and be like, hey, buddy! As well as whoever the hell sells in that city's goddamn government.
I mean, at least... I can assume that, like, the side talk gatherings and parties, they at least get some kind of permission to film and permits and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't trust Billy McFarland over Spider-Cuz or Bobby Shmurda or the truck girl. You all know who they are if you watch the side talk videos.
Byron!
What's up, baby?
Hey, yo! I mean, I highly doubt that all this is going to go anywhere else ridiculously stupid. I mean, it's not like someone's going to get the brand name Fyre and try to apply it to a completely unrelated kind of financial endeavor. Oh, hey, what's this? Someone just sent me a link right now. I'm sorry. A Fyre music streaming app?
What?
Of course. Of course.
That's the thing. Wait.
Of course.
Okay, so according to Deadline and various other places, Billy McFarland apparently sold off a couple of trademarks and IP related materials for the Fyre brand. Currently, it is in possession of, and I need to stress this right now, the words I am about to read They are 100% real. It's going to sound like I'm having a stroke, but this is a real combination of words that has manifested in our reality that was typed out in an article by Tom Brihan of Stereo Gum, and I am now regurgitating to you. That intellectual property is now in the possession of Sean Rech, a guy who co-founded a streaming service called TrueBlue with former To Catch a Predator host Chris Hansen.
Oh no. What?
And Rech also started something called American Gospel TV. I do not want to learn what that is.
What?
And you can't make me.
Huh? Boy, that makes me want to Rech.
We have fun with our puns here to distract from how awful everything is. So, apparently, this sounds kind of weird. So, from what the article at Sarah Gum is explaining, Rech doesn't own the festival itself, but apparently he's able to use the fucking name and trademark to launch some kind of, at least what appears to be, a music video streaming service. And, of course, Tom posits the question excellently. Why would anyone subscribe to a service that's named after an infamous shit pit of nothingness? You know what? That's going to be the name of my new death metal band. Shit Pit of Nothingness. That is a great comedy. That is what the English language was made for. So here's how Rech explains it to Deadline. Quote, music networks are all just programming now, and I have no interest in watching people slip on bananas. It has nothing to do with music. I needed a big name that people would remember, even if it's attached to infamy. So that's why I bought these trademarks to start the streaming network. This isn't about festivals or hype. It's about putting the power of music discovery back in the hands of the fans. We're building something authentic and lasting. And I need you to know just how hard I'm trying to fight back the instinct to just vomit all over the microphone.
They call it authentic and lasting. I call it bullshit and bullshit.
Yeah, motherfucker, you're about as authentic as Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, God.
The guy has a fucking worm in his head. He is not sane.
And also,
there are cheap $20 Prada bags at garage sales in, like, the really weird parts of your town that are more authentic than anything associated with Billy McFarland or Firefest. Those pop-up ads on the side of your browser right now saying that there are hot Russian milfs in your area are more authentic than anything Billy McFarland has ever done with his career.
You know what? I got one better. Those games that promise you money every time you play them sounds more authentic than whatever the fuck he's pulling.
Yeah, so, oh god, they actually have a... Okay, I'm looking at the rest of this. The Fire streaming service plans to launch on Thanksgiving, and it's already got a fancy-looking... Oh my god, do I click? Dare I click the link in this article to watchfiretv.com?
Oh, no.
I feel like I have to, for the sake of dude... Yup, it's right there. Fire music streaming... There's a link that says, submit my video. There's frequently asked questions, news, a link to sign up for updates. Welcome to Fire Music Streaming, putting artist success in the hands of their current and future fan. That's just a career in the music industry. Oh my god, this really is just peak Silicon Valley tech, bro. This is like, we're like, yeah. We've invented something called bodega boxes. You can walk up to a box, put in money, and walk away with a snack. And it's like, my brother in Christ, that's literally just a vending machine.
A vending machine?
We've had those for decades. Possibly centuries, even. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm... Do I want to click frequently asked questions? Who the fuck is frequently asking questions about a website that technically launches at Thanksgiving and was only just announced? Oh my god, just fucking... Yeah, hang on, let me just look at the rest of this article here. Alright, so, apparently Fire Music is a subscription, video-on-demand, SVOD, app, and a free ad-supported television network, FAST, the app works similar to well-known subscription services like Netflix. Bullshit. Netflix might not be great, but at least on Netflix I can watch Sakamoto Days. You should watch Sakamoto Days, by the way. Artists will be able to submit their work for consideration, and subscriptions will supposedly cost less than $5 a month. Yeah, Tom Bryan really is calling out that, like, yeah, this is bullshit. There's no way this shit's gonna be $5 a month. Oh my fucking god. I think the last sentence puts... it best. This is all deeply confusing and nonsensical, but someone somewhere is presumably getting paid. Yeah, I'm just... Oh my god, this is so fucking stupid. So yeah, it lists a launch date of November 27th, so directly on Thanksgiving. And the ad-supported television network stuff will be partnering supposedly with brands like LG, Samsung, Roku. Yeah, this is not going on fucking Roku, man. I'm sorry. This shit is not going to be on Roku City, motherfucker.
Who knows? Maybe it won't even launch when it's supposed to, because can we really trust any of these people with anything they say? I don't think I can.
Like, I'm looking, there's a question, how do I get my videos on Fire? This site will soon give artists the ability to upload their work after signing a non-exclusive materials release. Your work will then be submitted to a clearinghouse where it will be checked for the inclusion of other artists' copyrighted materials. Oh boy, oh buddy. See, what gets me here is this line that says, that means no more tastemakers pulling the strings. The fans decide. I don't know, man. I feel like if you're making them sign non-exclusive material agreements, aren't you kind of pulling the strings? Like, yeah. How do we know you're going to honor your word? Maybe you'll just toss out music on the vibe of I don't like it.
Yeah, and sometimes, and let me get this shit out, and let me say this very, very bluntly. Fans don't often pick the best shit. They just pick what they like and stick with it.
It's like, god damn, this is stupid.
It's like the Billboard Awards or the Country Roll Awards.
I'm imagining anybody who signs up to have their songs and videos shown on this supposed, albeit non-existent platform, probably won't get that much in terms of royalties, if anything. Just call it a hunch.
Here's a nickel. Here's 3 pennies.
Yeah, just, man, what is this? We obviously don't live in real reality anymore. Everything's a joke.
Let's get crazy with reality and substitute my own.
But I guess we'll just have to keep laughing and following along with whatever the fuck is happening at some point. But for now, let us segue out of the news discussion to one last thing, and that is the new album releases for the week of April 25th, 2025, of which there actually are a few of note. So starting at the top, we have the newest album from Machine Head with Unatoned. From Sumac and More Mother, we have their new collab album, The Film. Totally didn't make a typo there in the document.
Oh.
Anyway, we have the newest album from Big Brave with OST. Apparently a new Billy Idol album, Dream Into It. A new project from Smokey Robinson with What the World Needs Now. And last, but certainly also least, something that the world doesn't need right now, a brand new Ghost album with Skeleta. So now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Still the usual places, the Discord, other Discords, my show, my other show when I come back, like a couple weeks, the Sky Blue platform, and that's pretty much it, because I'm a fucking recluse.
Sometimes I wish I could be too. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, Sky, you know, the Blue Skies and Metal Media. I'm still promoting my PayPal and other things because, yeah, I mean, I still need that. I still need a helping, probably not going to stop anytime soon. Sorry, just, but you know that. And also, on my own site, mind the hyperone.wordpress.com. Hopefully, I mean, I am working on a debut day for my story, Welcome to Zona Mirta. It should be in June. Just saying.
Cool. As for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other non-Twitter places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at roberts@superresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into the Discord server for Surreal Resolution. You'll find the link on the site, so you can chat it up with everyone there about miscellaneous topics, and always be reliably immediately notified whenever new stuff goes up on the site. So, thank you for tuning in this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And until then, now that Pope Francis is dead, are we finally going to find out what that one CD he bought was? Or is that still a mystery?